What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sheehan Show here on Sherdog.com. My name is Sean Sheehan. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined today by Cage Warriors commentator, media supremo, and all-around legend Brad Wharton before Cage Warriors 170, April 6th. The illustrious white canvas and yellow gloves return to Dublin, Ireland for, do you know what? Is such a great card, because it felt there for a while like all the Irish Island had been signed to the UFC. You know, we were all talking about, oh, there's a new UFC card coming. They're all going to be signed. Poor old Cage Warriors. It's going to be hard. But unluckily, I suppose, for Paul Hughes and maybe a couple more as well, they're still in Cage Warriors, but it's great for the Irish fans. It's great for Cage Warriors. And the top two fights here especially are absolutely fantastic. But we'll get to that. Brad, how have you been keeping? How are you?
Sean, don't ask me that question, my friend. It's a hectic time in Cage Warriors land. Obviously, had two shows back-to-back in Manchester a couple of weeks ago. We've got a show, as we record this, in a couple of days in London. And next week, of course, is the return to Dublin. 2 weeks after that, we're off to Scotland. And then I'm going on holiday. So let's get through this. I've got a week in Holland to look forward to. So
lovely. Lovely. I've been on holiday coming up as well. I'm only going up to Donegal around there and stuff as well. But still, I'll take it. It's my first holiday in about 5 years, so badly needed. Come here, before we get into the Ireland card, what about Scotland? There was an awful lot of talk, and I remember we mentioned it before, just to reiterate it though. People used to say, oh, you can sell tickets in Scotland. It's very hard to sell tickets up there and all. What's the scene like there up now? And for Cage Warriors going to Scotland is obviously a big thing for the area and a big for Cage Warriors as well.
Yeah, I mean, the scene, like the grassroots level, seems to be sort of picking up again. I think COVID hurt Scotland, you know, more than anywhere else. There's never been masses of shows. And obviously the ones that there are were generally sort of focused around like the Glasgow area. But you know, you've got gyms up in the Highlands, and obviously there's just not going to be the demand for a big show in those kind of areas. But yeah, it seems to be picking up a bit now. There's a few regional shows going off without a hitch. And obviously there's the talent in the Scottish gyms, you know, high level, one of the best gyms in Europe at the moment, for my money, under James Doolan. And you know, we did that show up in Newcastle last year, and half the arena was Scottish. So I think the decision was kind of made at that point that, you know, we need to give the Scottish Cage Warriors fans the opportunity to have a home show. And here we are. It's looking like one of the biggest Cage Warriors cards in probably about 10 years. I think it's somewhere in the region of 20 fights at the moment. So it's going to be a long day, but some great scraps coming up.
I would like to be at that one. I'll be honest, I'll stay home for that one. It's always interesting, though. Funny you make that point. I always notice, like, when there's a Scottish fighter on, like, the litany of Irish cards, obviously, have been at down through the years, there's always that, like, you know, 50 people in the crowd that they've brought over from Scotland, which is no joke, like, to travel over if they're 50, you know, coming over to Ireland, how many are going to be watching them at home? Like, and I always thought the Scottish fans were a little bit hard done by with MMA, especially, like, even with the UFC, like, they had Paul Craig, and, like, it was a no-brainer for a while to bring Paul Craig and do a fight night event with him back in Scotland, but a little bit of a segue there, but it's great for Scottish MMA, and, you know, us Celts have to stick together, don't we, and and keep the MMAC going. Back to Ireland, though. Back to the other side of the Celtic divide. And this card is so great, so interesting. Obviously, we had the Tree Arena, we had the RDS over the last 18 months of the year or so. And, you know, two obviously massive nights for Cage Warriors. And the return, obviously, you mentioned after COVID and all. We had the big Ian Garry fights and all before that. And it felt like, you know, it felt like there was something brewing for a long while there with the kind of the new age of Cage Warriors. I remember speaking to Graham, and obviously he said it many times that, like, we're, you know, we have made the point of getting a lot of Irish guys, bringing them on, and even with himself obviously being Irish, and putting them to that next level. They did it. We've seen it with Reese, Kaelin, Ian Garry, and the rest as well. Obviously the two lads will have fought by the time this video comes out, but win or lose, it's been done, and now he moves on to the next level. And obviously, you know, it was a bit of a back and forth in the recent cards, obviously, with, you know, the Shelleys losing a few fights when, you know, everyone thought they would have been gone on. Even James Sheehan, who we have here, lost and had to win his way back. And it's been more of a roller coaster, I suppose, for these lads. And with Paul Hughes, obviously, as well, being on the verge for so long. And it's been a real roller coaster. But I suppose we're here now, and I have all the lads again on the verge and on the verge of big things. But that, I suppose you see that a lot, Brad, that we, like, whether it's in Italy or whether it is in Scotland or whether it is in Ireland or and all that, it's very, you know, when you've Ian Dean, I suppose it's easy to get the talent because he's so good at recognizing him. But for that talent to actually like go to the next level and become Cage Warrior champions and get to the UFC, it's just not that easy, is it?
Absolutely not. You know, it's unfortunately not pro wrestling where we can't script it. We can't give these guys these perfect nights constantly all the time. You know, but you've got to have the eye for talent, like you say. You've got to have faith in that talent. You've got to give them the platform. Obviously, they have to do the rest. And, you know, Graham said, I think it was last year, he said that, you know, in terms of like the stars now, Cage Warriors is in that rebuilding phase. You know, I think the show last October, it was when we were at the RDS, you know, we'd seen Reese and Kalen move on at that point. And now we're at that stage where we're waiting for the next guys to come through and be headliners. And, you know, you've got James Sheehan at the top of the card now. He's back to winning ways. He's going to be taking that headlining role, you would imagine. And then the guys like the Shelleys, guys like Taka, guys like Solomon, all coming through, fantastic talents. And, yeah, I think the future's looking bright for Irish fighters on Cage Warriors, as it kind of, as you say, cyclically does every few years or so.
100%. And it's, you know, you'll see the next wave coming after them as well, I suppose. And it's interesting, you know, again, the backdrop of having no SBG fighters, although Sinead Nolan's on this card, didn't she? We've won SBG fighter on the card, but with the backdrop of, you know, that as well, it's mad to think that it can be happening with the biggest gym in the country not involved. And, you know, we've gone through that obviously many times, but it's just always, I think, worth saying as well. But let's talk about the main event here, and let's talk about James Sheehan. And, like, I remember, like, looking at James after that Ian Garry fight. So James fought Ian Garry in 2019, and look, everyone knew how good Ian Garry was back then, basically. Like, Ian Garry was known when he made his pro debut. I interviewed him before his pro debut, and I, you know, I don't do that often, let's be honest. The fight that they put on together, Ian Garry won it, but James Sheehan just looked really, you know, able for him. And not many people were able for Ian Garry in that. And I kind of knew what that said. And he went down, let me just look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fight winning streak. Obviously went in there with Oban Elliott. A very close fight again. Lost that. And he didn't beat Ollie in his last fight in Dublin at Cage Warriors 161. It's been an unbelievable run. But beating the likes of Noemiel Brown, who was, you know, he was the champion, wasn't he, there not too long ago? Or fighting for the belt anyway against Bashar.
Yeah, he fought for the belt, and then he won a crazy fight. Yes. Fight of the night against Rafael Aronoff.
And Jamie Richardson. You know, always around that area to beat the two of those guys. I didn't get proved that. And like, sometimes you can see, and you can, you know, James started off his career 1-2, you know, lost to Matthew Bonner as well in his pro debut. And the mental fortitude, the physical ability to come back from that as well and improve, it's just unbelievable. As someone who's, you know, called all of those fights basically since that Ian Garry one, it must have been crazy to see that improvement and that comeback in a career and just with utter confidence. Like, some lads that had knocked the confidence out of him, but not for James Sheehan.
Yeah, I think, you know, with James, he's got a great team around him and he's got great people around him. You know, he's obviously training with Andy Ryan there and Redza. You know, Redza's been there. He's walked that path. You know, I know he does a lot of training with Paul still. Paul had a pretty nasty cut over his eye a couple of weeks ago in Manchester from one of James's elbows. But, you know, having that kind of foundation, you know, if you do slip up early in your career, and it was barely even a slip up, you know, losses to Ian Garry and Matt Bonner, who was a Cage Warriors champion early in your career, it is what it is. Oban Elliott's in the UFC now, and that was a really close fight. It doesn't matter, but having those guys around you to say, you know what, this isn't the end of the road. You know, Paul picked up a few losses early in his career, went on to have an incredible career. And, you know, James has those, you know, those footprints to walk through now. And as you say, you know, in the cage, super capable guy, you know, heavy-handed, very, very good boxing, good at managing space, good in all phases of the fight, really. And I think that's going to be the decider in this one because he's got an opponent who is, you know, very, very dangerous in one particular area. And I just think that James is maybe the more capable guy when you incorporate all tools of mixed martial arts. But you know, you can never write off those guys who are just lethal at one thing, right? And that's the jeopardy in this one for me.
Yeah, and obviously, if we haven't mentioned it, this is for the title as well. The title is up for grabs, which, you know, I think a lot of people have talked about for James over the last while, and for him to reach that goal of getting to the title fight, and obviously wanting to reach the goal of grabbing the title is absolutely massive. But you talk about Conrad, and, you know, watched a bit of him. He's only young in his career. What, 4-1, I believe, isn't it? But, like, you look at some of the guys he has fought. Tommy Langowski, his last fight who he's won, he's one of the guys that Dan Hardy's picked out for the PFL tournament for this year as well. So, you know, when that happens, he's going to be good. Even in his amateur career, he fought Federico Pasquale, and he's fought some good guys, you know, in the early part of his career. And watching him, he hits so hard. You know, he hits just a powerhouse, very attacking, very early, throws that right hand early and often, and the left hook behind it or in front of it sometimes is so good. I think sometimes an issue as well, Brad, you say, you know, very much, you know, a striker who's going to hit you hard. But, like, there's not that many fights. There's not that much tape on him. Like, I watched one of his fights to see a bit of the ground game. Like, it's from 5 years ago. I'm like, there's a lot could have changed. You know, he was basic enough on the ground 5 years ago. And, you know, as I said, a lot could have changed since then. But it's interesting, though, as well. Like, James, I went back and watched a few of his fights just to, like, so that there'd be no bit of bias or anything there, just to take away my, you know, even biases in my thoughts rather than biases in my opinion. And I think cage cutting is the best part of his game. He is so good at it. And I think that comes down to what you mentioned there, training with Redzer, training with Neil Siri, training with Andy Ryan. Them lads are tough. You know, they come from a tough place in Dublin, a tough place in Ireland, and they're tough men. And to go in there with them sort of lads, if you're not comfortable fighting, you're never going to get out of the gym. Like, you will get out of the gym and you'll probably never come back. Do you know? You have to be tough to get through that. And, like, his jab is fantastic. And I want to say, right, toughness is not his A1 game. Skill is his A1 game, I would say. But the toughness behind it is really good. Like, he does a double and treble jab, jabs to the body, very good leg kicks, very good defensively. Like, when you notice someone defending the backhand from his opponent, you know that they're, like, a good fighter. And, like, I think an underrated action fighter as well. Just very, like, it's funny you mentioned the Redzer part as well. Like, the last thing I've written in my notes here is well-schooled. And he really, really, really is. But we spoke a good bit about James there. Any more on info on Conrad or what you thought of him, watching him? He's definitely a dangerous fighter, isn't he?
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head, but, you know, there's a ground game there as well. You know, I suppose the only thing that we haven't seen a massive amount of is his wrestling. So the question is, you know, yeah, he's got 4 or 5 wins by submission on his pro record. Can he get James to the mat to put himself, to put James in those bad positions where he can hunt the arm bars, where he can hunt the triangles that he's been able to pull off on opponents on the regional circuit? You know, where he's come up, you know, let's make no mistake about it, the kid's obviously very, very good, but this is a huge step up in competition for him against James. And I think the danger, you know, when you're one of those guys that, you know, you know you're capable of getting the submission against a certain level of opponent, when things start getting a bit hectic and when that double triple jab starts coming from James, he's going to be diving on submissions, you know, desperately trying to get the fight to the ground. And if his wrestling's not up to par, that's when James is going to make him pay. So I think that's what he needs to be really wary of.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think he's a real finisher. Like, I think that the power in the hands and the, like, his last fight, what was it, a 13-second submission or something like that, and it was a pretty quick knockout in the one before that as well. It's just, he really is a finisher. And for James, who's, like, very good at, as I said, cutting off the cage and controlling fights as well, I think if he can keep control over that, I think he'll win handy enough, to be honest. But he's just said to none.
Things James does really well is keep a really steady pace. And, yeah, you know, we have to remember as well, this is 5 rounds. And, of course, neither of them have been 5 rounds. But the one guy that we know can keep a steady pace right till the final bell is James. So, again, going to be very, very interesting if this gets to the 4th and 5th rounds. But, you know, when you've got a guy like Conrad, as you say, is just a proven finisher, you've got to mind your P's and Q's, because all it takes is one tiny mistake. And we've seen it in Cage Warriors welterweight title fights recently. You know, Emil Brown absolutely beating the brakes off Yanis Bichar, and then boom, done in the blink of an eye. So both guys are going to have to be very, very careful. You know, you've got two dangerous, well-schooled guys in there. I think it's got all the ingredients for a very fun title fight.
100%. And there's a rich history of welterweight Irish champions as well, from Carl Pinder to Ian Garry to Reese McKee. It's, you know, for James Sheehan to be the next one, that means a lot. It really, really does. And it'd be huge for Team Rhino as well. It'd be absolutely massive for them. So looking forward to seeing that. Let's talk about Paul Hughes. How excited are you to have Paul Hughes? I know, like, for the last two or three fights, you've been expecting not to have Paul Hughes on Cage Warriors card. You probably expected to call the last fight of Paul Hughes a good while ago. It must be great to and it, look, it's bad for Paul Hughes, I suppose, to not be in the UFC, but still, it's great for the fans, great for Cage Warriors, and for Paul Hughes to be able to have this platform to go out and do it again, to fucking, how many times does he have to prove it, but to prove it again, it's huge. And I'm glad he's been able to stay busy. That's the one thing. You know, as busy, I suppose, as he can, and where better to do it than Dublin for Paul Hughes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing you don't want to see with such a talented kid is them sitting on the sidelines and waiting for something that isn't happening straight away. And, you know, Paul's obviously had a couple of serious injuries for a young man already. You know, a very serious injury with his hand that he was told he may not come back from. And then obviously, you know, a couple of years back, hurt his neck, and that kept him at the cage for a while. And, you know, he's entering his prime now, and he needs to be competing. There's just that you can't buy the experience, you can't buy the cage time. There's no amount of training that you can do that will compensate for missing fights in your prime. You know, and so we need to see Paul Hughes staying active. You know, as a commentator, it's now a privilege to call his fights. He's a special talent, a special individual. Super, super exciting to watch. You know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, if I was a fan buying tickets to an MMA event, I saw Paul Hughes on the card, I'm buying a ticket. I know it's going to be exciting one way or the other, whether it's going to be a 3-round war or a crazy knockout like we saw against Janka Hagens late last year. You know, something special is going to happen.
Yeah,
he's had a late change of opponent here as well. So, you know, it's unfortunately not been the smoothest of rides, but, you know, credit to Paul and credit to Edgar for getting this done, you know, just over a week out.
I remember, I think it was the Q Hagens fight. I paused it for a second as I was just coming. Someone came to the door or something. I was at home watching it, and I was on Fight Pass, and I clicked like the minute forward thing, and then Paul Hughes like being pulled off him. I was like, "Fuck, what happened there? How did that happen?" So that's what you could expect as well from Paul Hughes and fights. But as you said, yeah, this Edgar Ascara. I think he's arguably better than the original opponent, to be honest. I watched a bit of him. He's won 6 fights in a row. He's fighting in this Mexican promotion that I hadn't heard of before, I'll be honest. But the setup looks really good. They're on Fight Pass, and I think it was on YouTube, but like they had Jason Herzog over there refereeing. It looks like a good setup, and some of the opponents he fought were pretty good, and as I said, won 6 in a row. Fighting out of the southpaw stand, so that's a bit of a change as well. Obviously, southpaws can change things around an awful lot. Very good on the ground, and I like controlled on the feet as well. He reminds me a little bit of like a Clay Collard, maybe on the feet, like long, and you know, obviously fighting out of southpaw, and maybe not the biggest puncher, the biggest hitter in the world, but when the fight gets to the ground, he's you know, he's an absolute snake on the ground. So, so good there as well. So, look, there's definitely things to worry about for Paul Hughes there. Like, if he, you know, he needs to not get taken down, he needs to not allow this guy to control him on the feet, and he needs to, you know, land those big shots and everything like that. For Hughes, do you think, like, it feels like he needs to go in there and prove a point every time he's fought? The last time he did it, knocked the guy out and, you know, 12 seconds or whatever it was. But that's, you know, that's not always going to happen, is it? He has to be a little bit careful as well here, Paul, doesn't he? And that makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Sean, in that I think this is actually a more dangerous fight than his original opponent. No disrespect to the original opponent at all. I just think, you know, Edgar's just, you know, kind of that bit further forward in his career at the moment. He's riding a real hot streak. You know, I've since this fight was announced a couple of days ago, had people messaging me who were involved in like the Mexican scene, saying all this kid needs is the opportunity, and this is the opportunity. You know, they rate him very highly over there. His brother as well is, I want to say 6-0 or 6-1. So we're from a fighting family. And yeah, like as you say, he's going to pose problems on the ground for Paul that Paul's maybe not experienced, you know, since he fought a guy like Aidan Stevens some time ago. So that's going to be interesting to see how, you know, Paul, we obviously know how good his striking is and how that's been developing, but it'll be interesting to maybe see the ground game tested if it goes there. But look, Edgar can handle himself on the feet as well. You know, he likes going down to the body, like you say, like Clay Collard style. You know, he's going to get in Paul Hughes' face. And look, when you've got people saying to you that all this guy needs is the opportunity, you know what this means to the fighter. He's going to come out there not looking to make up the numbers. He's going to throw everything he's got at Paul Hughes, because if he takes Paul Hughes down, the game changes, right? His life changes overnight. He'll be on the Contender Series. He'll be in the UFC, whatever it is that's next for him. But that will happen overnight if he takes Paul Hughes down. And, you know, you've got to give Paul Hughes credit as well. He's taking these risks, and he's got to, right? You know, he can't just sit there. He's got to take these risks. But that must weigh on his mind. I know he's an incredibly, you know, mentally strong young man. And, you know, his attitude to the game is absolutely phenomenal. But it's got to be there at the back of the mind. Like, one shot, one mistake on the ground, one submission, and it's devastating for his career. I mean, you know, if Hughes were to lose in anything other than a split decision, five-round war, devastating for his immediate career trajectory. So, you know, he's going to be dialed in as well. You know, these are two guys going into a, you know, I don't think it's hyperbole to say a life-changing fight for both.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Like, the jeopardy is you, because, like, he's the Mexican Paul Hughes. Like, look at the win streak he's on. Like there's absolutely no shred or doubt about that. Like, that the UFC, like, if Ian Dean knows who he is and is bringing him into Paul Hughes, you know he's going to be on the radar of the likes of Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard. There's also absolutely massive fight. Like, you'd hope from the Irish point of view that Paul Hughes is going to get through it and going to get to the UFC, but it's, you know, by no means a foregone conclusion, as anything isn't in mixed martial arts. But again, look, to have Paul Hughes fighting one for the fans and for Cage Warriors as well, it's absolutely huge, and for Paul Hughes himself as well. So let's run through some of the fights and the rest of the card. Decky McAleenan is back as well. He's fighting Vili Maniac, and I watched a bit of him, and he's a very interesting fighter. Is Vila likes it on the floor, fights inside, and he loves to attack with those kind of close kicks that we see an awful lot recently, kind of coming from the Muay Thai style, and his big hard hooks, likes to work to the body. You know, not too dissimilar to Decky. Like, I remember I might even be me talking about Decky being like really good on the ground, and he was like, what are you talking about? I'm a striker. I love to fight standing up. So this one could be a bonkers fight, to be honest. And you know, with Decky, he's one of those guys that you said it about someone earlier, but Decky, just it's always fun. And I know you're a big fan of Decky. You love calling his fights, but his fights are always manic, and I think this is going to be another one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, no secret, I'm a big fan of Decky. Just a super entertaining guy, willing to go in there and mix it up with anyone. And I think you can say the same about Villa. You know, he got Milad Ahadi on his Cage Warriors debut, and he gave Milad a really good fight. You know, that was an entertaining scrap. Went the distance with him. So, you know, if you go the distance with a prospect like Milad, that kind of shows you where the level is. You know, this is an important fight for Decky. You know, I think, you know, if he's going to make a run for a Cage Warriors title, or, you know, maybe he's looking at like the Prize Fighter tournament this summer, I think that'd be something that'd be perfect for Decky. But, you know, this is maybe the last run at the top for Decky now. So a hugely important fight for him, and a tough opponent. But yeah, I think the styles are going to mesh really well. And I think you've got just as much chance of seeing them go at it for 15 minutes back and forth as you have seen one of them just pull off something absolutely bonkers out of nowhere.
100%. I think it's very interesting. A lot of the lads obviously training up the north or towards that side of the country as well have really taken over some of the Cage Warriors divisions, like, over the last while, and have done like such a great job. And like, you even see Matthew Elliott is back here again after going 2-1. Like, he's such a good wrestler. We're going to obviously see him in there and a few more as well. But Team KF, I want to mention as well, like, the two Shelleys are obviously on this card. Solomon Simon's in Rhino. But who else am I missing? Taka. Taka's on this, isn't he? Is Taka on it?
Yeah. Taka's got a great fight. So Taka's facing Rory Evans.
Oh, yeah, so great again, fight. You know, yeah.
Yeah, two guys who, you know they're going to leave it all in there. I can't imagine this being anything other than super entertaining. Rory's already thrown his hat in the ring and said, look, I'm gonna go through this kid, and then I want that prize fighter tournament. So he knows what he wants this summer, and, he's 15 minutes away from getting it. Taka, it's been so great to see his evolution. I remember calling amateur fights of his, seeing him turn pro. He obviously had that bad night in Dublin last year, but the way he came back from that, absolutely incredible. I think we're going to see Taka put his foot to the floor in this one. I think last time we saw him, he wasn't going all out. He really needed that win, get his confidence back. But I think it's there now, and Taka with his foot to the floor is an entertaining fighter.
Yeah, I suppose for the two Shelley brothers as well, like it's been a tough time, I suppose, for both Ryan and Adam over the last while. Like, I suppose Ryan in the last couple of fights, and then Adam a few fights before that, and he's kind of made the comeback as well. But there, I feel like
Ryan unfortunately injured and out of the card. So unfortunately, we're not going to be seeing Ryan. But Adam is on against Emanuele Sabatino, which again,
that's
a sick fight.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones. Like, we've been so focused on. We had so many fights in Manchester a couple of weeks ago. We've got a big card this weekend. And, you start looking down this Dublin card and you're like, oh, it's on it. That's on it. This is great.
100%. Jer Harris and Solomon Simon come out of Rhino. Like, Jer Harris to me is like the kind of the next James Sheehan, I would say, maybe. Like, and I suppose it's easy to make that comparison when they're both out of Rhino. But, like, I remember a friend of mine, Patrick Foran, who used to work with Severe May, he actually, like, worked with Jer Harris, or he was in college with him or something. He told me, watch this lad, he's very good. He was training with Owen Roddy at the time, and I was down in one of the Cage Legacy fights in Cork. I watched him as an amateur. I was like, this guy, he is the real deal. Like, and he's going to be very good. And, he's had a setback or two since, but it just like he has the chat as well, and the personality and all, just really good. And Solomon Simon, a guy like, Jesus, he's probably had 30 amateur fights, is he? Like, every amateur show that I went to, he was always on. And you can't beat that as well. Like, fair play to Cage Legacy and the others as well. They've put on some great shows to get the lads to, I suppose, to this point. And it's great for that gym. But the last thing I want to touch on Brad, before we go, the women getting an opportunity here. I mentioned Sinead Ninulan earlier on. My colleagues over in the Old Triangle had Emer Darcy on there recently, and she was kind of the de facto Irish amateur female fighter of 2023. And, we had a group over on our Severe May page, and the one thing they were giving out about in the local shows recently was, and this was maybe up to 2 years ago, saying there wasn't enough women's fights. We want to see more women's fights on. We want to see them given the opportunity. And to be fair to Cage Warriors, that is really something that has changed over the last probably 6 months to a year. And now we see it happening again here. It's fantastic to see the two of these ladies get an opportunity. Obviously, there are two opponents as well. Is that something that's really, obviously, without giving maybe too much away, the inner workings of Cage Warriors, but is that something that's been a point that's been made over the last while?
I think, Ian was saying towards the end of last year, I really want to put more women's fights on in 2024. And I think you've seen that. We were supposed to have a women's fight on the card this weekend. And unfortunately, that fell through. One of the participants got ill. And herein lies the problem. The pool of talent is so small when it comes to the women's fighters. You've still got maybe 5-6 different weight classes to look at. It's very, very difficult to replace people. And it's not just because the talent pool is so small, it's that because the talent pool is so small, so many of these women have trained together and maybe don't want to fight each other, or they've already fought each other,
yeah,
or they fought amateur. So it's tough. It's a lot of effort. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get Riri Hudson matched up. She's going to fight in a couple of months' time, I believe. But yeah, great to have the ladies on next Saturday. Sinead had a fantastic Cage Warriors debut against Kate Batchick. Unfortunately, came up short on the night, but it was a fight of the night performance. And it was one of those crazy ones where, Kate took the fight on just over 24 hours notice. And obviously, it was in London, so not really a home show for Sinead. I don't know if she trains over in London at the moment at Team Underground, but it won the crowd over. And you just got that sense that everyone was like, oh, okay, the girls are fighting now. We'll maybe go and get a beer or something. And by the end of that fight, the place was absolutely bopping. Everyone's having such a good time. They got a massive round of applause, and rightly so. It was fight of the night for me. So yeah, great to see the two ladies on. And yeah, looking forward to big things for both of them.
Yeah, 100%. Just to mention a couple more before we go, Scott Harvey, 3-0 is on the card as well. I mentioned Matthew Elliott again, but just to give him another quick mention, like, he's a really good prospect. He could be 3-0. You know, he's in one of the Shelleys. That was obviously a very, very close fight as well. And, you know, really tough wrestler. One of my favorite fighters, Scott Pedersen, on the scene. You know, that record is just going up and up again. You know, it's a 5-3-1 now, and he's fighting undefeated Luca Barando as well. Very interesting. Jamie Abbott Bissett coming out of Team Rhino, his sister. You know, they've really been training together for the last few years. She was the world champion as an amateur. Real fighting family. And, you know, Ben Petruscelli, Dara Ward as well. Two guys early in their career. So there's...
That'll be a great fight.
Plenty to look forward to on this card from the top to the bottom. As we said, the new pros and you know, basically UFC fighters at the very top of it. So always good to tune in and to watch. And you can hear Brad's lovely voice on that card as well on UFC Fight Pass this Saturday night, April 6th. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. Brad, thank you very much for joining me. Enjoy your few pints in Dublin, as I'm sure a lot of the people here will be enjoying as well. And we'll see you all next time. Good luck.